right, good to be here. Take your Bibles, turn to Hebrews 11 this morning, if you will. Happy Mother's Day to all you mothers. I hope when I get through, you're still happy. Amen. Most of my message don't make people happy. They make people mad. And that's not a virtue. But we'll just trust the Lord. This morning, am I on and all okay here, guys? All right. I was doing all right, and then I said, you know, I'm going to Adam's office and just get a little cup of Starbucks dark roast, and I'm ready to explode. So you just bear with me a little bit. Just say, help him, Lord. Help him. Hebrews chapter 11, verse 6, but without faith, it is impossible to please him. For he, can I be so bold as to add, and she, that cometh to God must believe that he is, and that he and she is a rewarder of them that diligently seek him. Father, thank you for your word this morning. Thank you for the Holy Ghost, the preserved Bible. And we're in an upside-down world holding on to a Bible that keeps us right side up this morning. Help it to do its perfect work in our hearts this morning, and we'll thank you in Jesus' name. Amen. It says without faith it's impossible to please him. And if there's anyone worth pleasing, it's God. And if there's any way he's going to be pleased, it's by faith. If I could be so bold as to give you a practical definition for a simple man when it comes to faith, it's believe in God. Yeah. Believe in God. And Hebrews chapter 11, if you're not familiar with the Bible, is a list of those whose faith God chose to make note of. The Bible says that holy men of God spake as they were moved by the Holy Ghost. Inspiration, and then either they or someone else wrote it down, preservation, and over the time, an eternity here, it was copied out, and that's what we hold in our hand today, people's faith whom God chose to make note of. Now, I want you to look at some verses in this chapter that I call wow faith. Wow faith. Look at verse 33. Who through faith subdued kingdoms, wrought righteousness, obtained promises, stopped the mouths of lions, quenched the violence of fire, escaped the edge of the sword, out of weakness were made strong, waxed valiant in fight, turned to flight the armies of the aliens. Women received their dead raised to life again. We're talking about wow faith here. And others were tortured, not accepting deliverance, that they might obtain a better resurrection. And others had trial of cruel mockings and scourgings, yea, moreover, of bonds and imprisonments. They were stoned. They were sawn asunder. They were tempted, were slain with the sword. They wandered about in sheepskins and goatskins, being destitute, afflicted, tormented, of whom the world was not worthy. They wandered in deserts and in mountains and in dens and caves of the earth. And all these all having obtained a good report through faith, received not the promises. These are people that really, really, really believed God and really, really, really pleased God. And then there's me. My pillow's memory foam. I have not resisted unto blood, striving against sin. I ain't put to flight any armies of the aliens. I've not had dead children raised up. But listen to me. The level of pleasure that God gets from a believer's faith is not measured by the sensationalism of the act that faith produced, but rather through the simple belief of the saint to whom God spoke what he wanted them to do. See, there's a guy in there that had so much faith that he raised a staff
and parted a sea, and God was pleased. But there's another guy in there, Adam, that said, hey, when I die, don't bury my bones in that graveyard over there. Bury them the one two rivers over. And it pleased God. There's a guy in there said so much faith, he was willing to offer his son on an altar of sacrifice, and it pleased God. But there was a prostitute who lied to government officials to sort of protect a servant of God or servants of God, and that pleased God too. There's a man in there that had so much faith that God said, I want you to build a boat because I'm going to flood the world. And he said, what's a flood? It's never rained. And you know what? He built it, and it pleased God. But there's an old woman in there who was way, way old, past older than childbearing age, and God said, you're going to have a child. And she chuckled a little bit, but she must not have chuckled enough way down, deep down inside, because it says, by faith she received strength to conceive seed. You know what I like about Hebrews 11? There's men's faith, there's women's faith, there's seemingly big faith and relatively small faith, but it all pleased God. And Eric, that means I got a shot to please him too. If I took a survey of the first person to come to your mind when I mentioned Hebrews 11, most of you would say Abraham. Most of you would say Moses. Many of you might say Noah or one of the other heavy hitters. But I bet very few of you would bring to mind an unnamed husband and wife team found in verse 23 of Hebrews chapter 11. By faith, Moses, now this isn't going to be talking about his faith, when he was born, was hid 3 months of his parents because they saw he was a proper child and they were not afraid of the king's commandments. His parents' name were Amram and Jochebed. You'll find that in Numbers chapter 26 and verse 59. Now here's what the Bible has. You ever do Google Earth or those things, and they show you the big thing from way far away, and then you hit plus, 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 and you get a detailed view? That's what the Bible does. Go to Exodus chapter 1, and we'll look at the Google detail view. Amen. Exodus chapter 1. So you got a little something over there. That's why you want to read the whole Bible and not keep yourself from any of it, because that's what you call the overhead view. This is what we call the detail view. Exodus chapter 1, verse 8. If you've not read your Bible this morning, we're going to put a little eye salve. You ain't seen too much clean in this world this week, amen? But we're getting ready to go into one of those chemical washes. You know, you get poison in your eyes. You guys that work in the factory, you get poison in your eyes, and they got those flush stations. That's where we're fitting to go right now, because you'll be getting poison in your eyes on the internet, poison in your eyes on the TV, poison in your eyes at the checkout counter. But we're fitting to get an eye wash right now, amen? All right, Exodus chapter 1 and verse 8. Now there arose a new king over Egypt, which knew not Joseph. And he said unto his people, behold, the people of the children of Israel are more and mightier than we. Because they was having babies, mothers. You got to say that on Mother's Day, right? Come on, let us deal wisely with them, lest they multiply. And it come to pass that when they're falling out any war, they join also our enemies unto our enemies and fight against us, and so get them up out of the land. Over them taskmasters to afflict with their burdens, and they built Pharaoh treasure cities, Pithom and Ramses. But the more they afflicted them, the more they multiplied and grew. And they were grieved because of the children of Israel. And the Egyptians made the children of Israel to serve with rigor. This is what was happening in the time of Amram and Jochebed. And the Egyptians made the children of Israel serve with rigor, verse 14. And they made their lives bitter with hard bondage and mortar and brick and all the manner of service in the field. And all their service wherein they made them serve was with rigor. And the king of Egypt spake to the Hebrew midwives, of which the name of one was Sifra, and the name of the other, you're going to like this, was Pua. Some of you lady ought to name your baby Pua. And he said, when ye... That mother was changing that baby's diaper. They hadn't had a name for it yet. And she hollered from the other room, "What are we going to name this child?" But the father didn't hear him say it, and he said, "Pooh." And she's okay. Poor kid. That wasn't planned. I couldn't help it. Verse 16, I love the Bible. And he said, "When ye do the office of a midwife to the Hebrew women and see them upon the stools, if it be a son, then ye shall kill him. And if it be a daughter, then she shall live." But the midwives feared God and did not as the king of Egypt commanded them, but saved the men children alive. And the king of Egypt called for the midwives and said unto them, "Why have you done this thing and have saved the men children alive?" And the midwives said unto Pharaoh, "Because the Hebrew women are not as the Egyptian women. They are lively and delivered ere the midwives come in unto them. Therefore God dealt well with the midwives, and the people multiplied and waxed very mighty. And it came to pass, because the midwives feared God, that he made them houses. And Pharaoh charged his people, saying, "Every son that is born, ye shall cast into the river, and every daughter ye shall save alive." And there went a man of the house of Levi and took the wife, a daughter of Levi, and the woman conceived and bare a son. And when she saw him, that he was a goodly child, she hid him 3 months. And when she could no longer hide him, she took for him an ark of bulrushes and daubed it with slime and with pitch and put the child therein, and she laid it in the flags, that's bulrushes, by the river's brink. And his sister stood afar off to wit what would be done to him. And the daughter of Pharaoh came down to wash herself at the river, and her maidens walked along by the riverside. And when she saw the ark among the flags, she sent her maid to fetch it. And when she had opened it, she saw the child, and behold, the babe wept. And she had compassion on him and said, "This is one of the Hebrews' children." Then said his sister to Pharaoh's daughter, "Shall I go to call thee a nurse of the Hebrew women, that she may nurse the child for thee?" And Pharaoh's daughter said unto her, "Go." And the maid went and called the child's mother. And Pharaoh's daughter said, that's Jochebed, by the way. And Pharaoh's daughter said unto her, "Take the child away and nurse it for me, and I will give thee wages." And the woman took the child and nursed it. This morning, I want to address one of the planet's most precious commodities. The Bible says that the price of this commodity is far above rubies. And you'll find it in Proverbs chapter 31, and you know what it is? It's women that love and serve and fear God Almighty. And the thing that makes it so precious is that it's so rare. And I want to try to encourage you that love God this morning, you mothers in particular, but everybody else can hang on for the ride as well. This woman was raising a Moses, and you may be raising a potential Moses. She had no idea what God was going to do with this boy. I want you to consider her circumstances. She's a slave woman. The whole nation of her people are in bondage to Pharaoh in Egypt. She's discriminated against on religious grounds. This is not a democracy. She doesn't have the right of due process and a jury of her peers. When the Pharaoh was the supreme ruler, considered by most to be half man, half God. He owned all of Egypt. He owned the land in Egypt, and he owned the people of Egypt. There is a decree by this God-man Pharaoh to kill Jochebed's boy as soon as he is born. And that's the decree of Satan this morning, ladies. He wants to kill our boys. Jesus said he came not but for to steal, to kill, and destroy. He wants to destroy them physically. He wants to destroy our children spiritually. He wants to destroy our children emotionally. And he is doing some kind of job this morning. If your child is not saved, the devil wants to keep them lost. If he is saved, you and I know that you're going to have to war with hell in prayer to keep their testimony from messing up all those proclamations you made about God raising a family. Someone says, "You believe in climate change?" Yeah. The climate that used to be conducive to rearing children for God is changing fast. I grew up in New York in the Northeast. It's mostly Roman Catholic. And I'm telling you, when I was a kid, Adam, and we didn't know salvation the Bible way, but I'll tell you what, Saturday night at 5:30 and Sunday morning at 8 o'clock, 10 o'clock, 11 o'clock, 12 o'clock, that Catholic church I went to was full. Every single, I'm talking about thousands of people coming through there in those four, five services. And you know who you saw? You saw there's Harry Caffarelli over there, and there's Randy Benedetto over there, and there's Mike Leone over there, and there's all your little friends. You know what? It was conducive. Even though we didn't have the Bible salvation, God was real, amen? But now there's a lot of climate change. We're facing laws that's going to change the landscape of our nation. Designed for one reason and one reason only, by the devil, to make it more difficult to raise Moses. But there's two words in the Bible that are probably my favorite words when we're facing things of this nature. But God. But God. See, the climate change out there isn't getting warmer spiritually, it's getting colder. But our God, the Bible says, is a consuming fire that is more than able to warm things up a little bit so that we can still raise Moses's amidst climate change. Let's look at this dear woman, see if we can't get encouraged. Hebrews chapter 11, we'll flip back and forth. Hebrews chapter 11. Hebrews chapter 11, verse 23. By faith, Moses, when he was born, was hid. Listen, number one, by faith, Jochebed hid the child from Egypt in Egypt. How about that? We're not talking about going up and being some cult and some a clan and some commune and get having your altar separation and never have nothing to do with nobody and try to reach the world. She had enough faith to hide that boy from Egypt, where? Right in the middle of Egypt. You know, in the Bible, if you're familiar, if you're not, Egypt pictures the world and its philosophies and its system and its way of thinking. That's what Egypt pictures, and I got news for you. This world is coming unglued. You don't have to watch movies no more. You don't even have to watch reality TV no more. Just watch the news. You talk about One Flew Over the Cuckoo's Nest. You want to see a movie about an insane asylum run by the inmates? Turn on the 6 o'clock news. Man, it's crazy. America's young people are in an identity crisis. They're coming to the point they don't even know what gender they are. And before we get too critical, you grow up without an example of a loving mom and dad. Or anybody down the street in your neighborhood. It used to be in my generation, there might be one or two of them, but you went over your buddy's house and you saw how it worked. No mom, no dad, no marriage, no vows, no church, no Bible, no nothing. You might have an identity crisis too. And what's the world trying to... What is the world offering for solutions? They're just making it worse. Kicking God out. Bringing in humanism, atheism, which simply amounts to crazyism. But by faith, in much worse circumstances, ladies, Jochebed said, I'm going to hide my boy from that mess. And she made a commitment by faith. And when she made the commitment by faith, not afraid to hide her boy from Egypt, in Egypt, and you can add whatever you want of your way of doing that, God got pleased. And when God got pleased, that's when God intervenes. You know what we need more than a conservative president and a political party to get in there? We need intervention by God Almighty. Yeah.
God was pleased when she said, I'm going to hide this child. I'm not giving in to every whim of what this world says they got to do. Oh, my kids used to tell me. See, I learned from my dad in the old school. Everybody's doing it, Dad. You see that? He says, son, in my generation, everybody did this too. That's four backhand. Boom. Everybody's doing it. If they were jumping off the bridge, would you do it too? My kids, you say, everybody's doing it. Till I heard this song, Tony. If everybody does it, we don't. If everybody has it, we won't. If everybody's going, we'll go the other way. If everybody does it, we don't. Not afraid to hide them from Egypt in Egypt. How? By taking them to church. By dressing ladies like ladies and men like men. By following a preacher. By living right. By not just giving them everything that the world says they have to have. If Jochebed can produce a Moses in her environment, ladies, we can produce a Moses in ours. How? Number one, hide him from Egypt. Number two, verse 23, by faith Moses, when he was hid 3 months of his parents because they saw he was a proper child and were not afraid of the king's commandment. By faith, she wasn't afraid to go against what the king said you were supposed to do. Now, you know who the God small g of this world is, don't you? Job called him the king over the children of pride. It's the devil. He's pictured by Pharaoh. Listen, Pharaoh's powerful. Pharaoh destroys nations. Pharaoh owns the world. Pharaoh gets his way. Pharaoh in the physical realm is invincible until he come across a woman of faith. Can I ad lib a little? When that edict came out to kill the child, now back then the women, you know, they called their husbands Lord. You know how women can do, they can act sanctimonious and all, but you know inside they're tigers. And God's women too, and I'm saying it in a good way. And I got a feeling old Jochebed on the outside, she was saying, oh Lord. And everybody was noticing, mom was praying. But I got a feeling inside that she was saying, talking about Pharaoh inside, you know how moms could do when someone trying to get at their boy? Let that skinny jean wearing, eyebrow shaving, false God worshiping sucker try to get at this child. Invincible. Pharaoh, until he faced off with a woman that had faith with a God who was pleased enough to intervene. That can be you today. That can be you. Let's notice the artist's rendition of Moses in the bulrushes. Isn't it beautiful? Don't believe it for a second. The Nile River. Venomous snakes. Aggressive hippopotamus. 6-meter-long crocodiles. Lethal scorpions and bands of unfriendly locals pose only a few of the hazards that lie in wait along the Nile corridor that in over all of history, civilization, all the banks of the Nile, along the banks of the Nile, no expedition has ever been able to overcome the multitude of dangers that follow her entire path from the source of the Blue Nile at Lake Tana to Rosetta on the edge of the Mediterranean Sea. Many have tried to make an expedition from one end of the other to the river that this baby is sitting in. All have failed. Disease, sickness, fatigue, mosquitoes, piranha, serpents, etc., dehydration compound all of the animal hazards. Mom, it takes faith to hide a child. You're going to have to believe, you're going to have to hide your child in this Bible, right in the middle of Egypt, because you're not going to get away from it. And it's going to take faith to go contrary to the king's commandment. Now, I want you to run back to Exodus 2 and show you this. Because it's going to take some real faith for this one. Because when they're young and you know it all, and then you get old like me and don't know nothing. My baby's going to be Moses when he gets old. He turned out to be Mo on the Three Stooges, man. Watch verse 3. And when she could know, when she could not longer hide him. You can do so much, but the reality is one day you got to have enough faith to let him go. And entrust him to the Lord among the venomous beasts and the serpents and the diseases and the darkness and the danger of this world. And you may have to stand from afar, and you're going to have nothing but God on your side when they're out there. You say, how could anyone do that? You're going to have faith like Jochebed did. Adam, when I started pastoring, it seemed like ungodly parents were destroying good children. As I've been doing it for going on 20-something years now, it seems like ungodly children are destroying good parents. Because I don't want to let Junior go. Even though he's a rebel, I'm afraid what denial will do to him. Hey man, Junior's 41 years old. Kick his butt out the door. I'm afraid of what denial will do. How about we put faith in what God can do? Get them to messing up all your other kids, messing up everybody in the church, bringing a bad attitude. Let the world deal with that attitude and trust God, and you get a hold of God. That's what we need in some Jochebeds this morning. Statistically, Moses didn't have a chance. Bad news. Good news, God don't work by statistics. He was so pleased by the faith of a mother that was not afraid to hide her child from Egypt in Egypt. Wasn't afraid to go against the king's commandment. Well, you just got to teach tolerance. I think about my dad when I hear that. My dad didn't tolerate anything, man. He's 81 years old. When he comes, here's what we need. We need a faith that would please God enough for him to intervene. Exodus, oh, don't go there. Exodus chapter 2 tells us that Moses' name means drawn out. Now I want to show you something. Go to Hebrews 11 again. Hebrews 11, we're finishing up. Oh, we need some Jochebeds this morning. His name means drawn out. He was raised in all the wisdom of the Egyptians, but he couldn't escape that name. He's starting to grow up and they say, hey, drawn out, you want to go to Club Egypt tonight? We're going to get down. Hey, drawn out, you want to smoke a little dope tonight? Hey, drawn out. And one day when he was, I want to introduce you to Cleopatra. And he was a spiritual schizophrenic
Because he knew deep inside who he was and what he came from. And he was from the stock of Israel. And his father was a tribe of Levi. And his mother and father were godly. And he knew what happened. But he was in Egypt. You think the Nile was bad when he was a little baby? The Egypt he's in as a teenager ain't got nothing. Nile's got nothing on that. You know what? Watch this, 24. By faith Moses, I love this, thank you, Lord, when he was come to years, refused to be called the son of Pharaoh's daughter. They say, hey, drawn out. Ain't you Jochebed's son? No. Oh, look who got so spiritual all of a sudden. I'm not the son of Pharaoh's daughter. I'm a Hebrew. I'm one of God's children. Now watch this. I want you to get Exodus 2 and Exodus 7. Exodus 2 and Exodus 7. This is the Bible. Better than Fox News. Better than Xbox or Y box or Z box. Or religion box. Because just about the time you squeeze him into your box, he's going to ooze out of it. All right. Exodus chapter 2. Watch. Verse 3. And when she could not longer hide him, she took for him an ark of bulrushes and daubed it with slime and with pitch and put the child therein, and she laid it in the flags by the, say the next two words, river's brink. Remember those words, Exodus chapter 7, verse 15. I love the Bible. Exodus chapter 7. Now he's a big man. Verse 15. God speaking to Moses. Get thee unto Pharaoh in the morning. Lo, he goeth out unto the water, and thou shalt stand by the, say the next two words with me, the river's brink. Man, I think that faith, that was the exact same spot where Pharaoh was washing himself, because that's where the daughter was washing herself, where she found him. Woo! And man, could you imagine when God told Moses, get down there, and if I could just stop time for a minute, you want me to face off with Pharaoh? Are you serious? And you know what God said? This guy needs a little help. He said, Moses, go down by the river's brink where I kept you from the serpent last time, where I kept you from the danger last time. See, I wonder how many nights Moses lay in that bed thinking, come on, man, hippopotamus and water snakes and venomous beasts and alligators and crocodiles. And you know it's said in the Bible over there in Daniel how the angel of the Lord sort of propped up that lion's head and made a pillow for Daniel to sleep. I got a feeling that those crocodiles, I smell a baby, man. This is tender meat. Oh, let's go over there. And that angel of the Lord just said, bow! And that crocodile said, where'd that come from? There was a spiritual force field around that child, and his name was God. Amen. Go down by the river's brink. And man, that faith that was bred in that mother was passed down and birthed into that boy so that now he's hiding in Egypt, right in the middle of Egypt. But this time, he's hiding behind the omnipotence and the omnipresence and the power of Almighty God. Mom's faith that saved a boy in one generation through hiding him from Egypt in Egypt, through not being away, being afraid of the king's commandment, produced faith in a boy that saved a nation. You know what precipitated it all? When she said, he's a goodly child. Let me tell you, if you're a Christian and you have children, they're goodly. we have a goodly heritage. Can your little Moses see some Jochebed in you? Can you see a little bit of Moses? You say, I'm a preacher. My Moses isn't so little no more. He's out in the Nile tonight. Yeah, so was Moses. One time. As believers, we're facing climate change. Pharaoh's policies are hostile towards those that are attempting to raise Moses. But we have a God. We have a God who intervened because he was pleased by the faith of a mother who wasn't afraid to hide him, who said, I don't care what happened. This child is God's child, and I can do all, I'm going to do all that I can do, regardless of my environment, my climate, the circumstances, and if they're floating in the Nile tonight, I'm going to do what I can do. Listen, I don't know you all here today. I know something about you, though, if you're a mother. You love your children. And maybe you're here today, maybe you're visiting, maybe you're not familiar with Bible salvation and Bible faith, but if you said to me, preacher, I don't know much, I'm not much of a parent, maybe you didn't have parents that showed you a way, and you say, what's the best thing that I could do for my child? And I mean if they're a baby or if they're a brute. Get faith. Get saving faith. The preacher's going to explain how you can get that this morning in a couple minutes. And it doesn't come by joining this church. It's too important for that. And it's free. But we are facing a world that is messing up our children. You get a little saving faith this morning, you'll be so many miles ahead from your neighbor. It'll please God, and it'll bless you. You got some things that you need to hide from your child or hide you from. I'll tell you what, if I lived in Austin, Texas, I'd be hiding my family right in this church right here. Climate change is coming, brethren, but the air conditioning's on in here. Preacher?
This morning we heard from God.